Hi, this is Mark Helm, the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage and the creator of the Quick Start Self-Storage Virtual Boot Camp. We have one coming up November 11th and 12th, 2022. And you can find more information about it at the link below. But today what I'd like to do is have an interview with someone who I actually met in the boot camp, the first quarter boot camp in 2021. His name's Terry Morrison. And I'd like for you guys to meet him and see what he's done in the self-storage business. So without further ado, let's have a conversation with Terry. Terry, thank you very much for being willing to do this interview and share your experience in the self-storage business. And I'm real appreciative of your time. And before we kind of get going in the whole world of self-storage, why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and why self-storage?
Sure. Yeah. Well, Mark, likewise, thank you for having me, you know, on and giving me the opportunity to chat with you. I really appreciate that as well. Going to my background, you know, I'm based out of Salt Lake City, Utah. So location-wise, that's where I'm at. I've lived here most of my life. I lived out in the California region for about 12, 13 years, but primarily spent most of my life in the Salt Lake City area. My background from a career standpoint was in enterprise software. So I worked at large enterprise software companies like Autodesk, Salesforce.com, Cadence Design Systems. And then starting in about 2012, that was about 11 years ago, I started investing in real estate. And then I've spent the last 2.5 years focused on self-storage investing. So that's my background.
Good, good. Why self-storage? What were you in before and what had you gravitate to self-storage?
Yeah. Well, you know, how I got started in real estate and self-storage, it was really, you know, kind of a diversification strategy away from having all of my assets in 100% mutual funds and the stock market. You know, when you work for big companies, you have your 401k and your ESPPs and all your money seems to be tied up in primarily in those areas. And so I was just looking for a way to diversify, you know, my funds. And so that's why I, you know, started looking at real estate. I started with single family homes back in 2012, just after the market kind of thawed out from that 2008, 9, 10 crash. And I went on to purchase about 15 single family homes. I sold about 5 of those. So I currently have 10. And then I decided to diversify again. You know, I thought, you know, I want to get into the commercial self-storage asset class. And that's really what drove me, again, kind of a second diversification into self-storage. I really liked self-storage. I thought it was an incredibly solid asset class in up and down markets. I liked the business model. And so that's what attracted me, I think, to self-storage. I did a lot of self, you know, education and read books and did as much as I could to try to, you know, educate myself. And in that process, Mark, I read your book called Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage. And then I found you on the web with a class that you were offering called the Quick Start Academy for Self-Storage Bootcamp, I believe. And I thought, wow, this looks exactly like the kind of stuff I want to learn more about because I've been reading a lot about it. And so I signed up for your class. I think that was January 2021. And then I became a student in your class, and your class was fantastic. And, you know, for those out there that don't know, I mean, Mark's class pretty much kind of takes you from A to Z, everything you need to know about getting into the self-storage business, how to purchase properties, invest in properties, operate properties. So it was a very comprehensive class. And that really kind of pushed me over the edge and got me, you know, into self-storage.
Tell us a little bit about the first self-storage deal you did, Terry, and how many have you done since then, or how many are you in?
Yeah, I would say the first deal we did was back in like March 2021, so it was shortly after we finished your boot camp class. And I guess I would back up a little bit from that and say that, you know, the first thing I did when I embarked upon this, Mark, was it was kind of a mentality, kind of like I was in the single family home market. I was a lone ranger by myself doing my thing. And I had that similar mentality when I was looking at the storage space. And what I realized very quickly was that it was harder to go it alone in self-storage because the assets are bigger. There's a little bit more complexity to it. And it's harder to scale if you're just a single person. So I quickly pivoted away from that I'm going to do it alone strategy and model to working with others, other investors, other people that had done it and were smarter than me that could help mentor me in the space. And so I kind of went that path. And that's when I partnered up with a guy by the name of Chris Cashman and Ed Babenko. They had a little more real estate experience than me in the commercial side. Just it was a good partnership getting hooked up with them. So that was kind of the first thing that I did. And then the first deal that I embarked upon back in March 2021 was, I found it. It was in the state of Georgia. So I'm located in the Salt Lake City market. My partners are out on the East Coast. So that's primarily why we focus on the East Coast, because that's where they're located, right? But the first deal we did was, it was a smaller deal. And I brought it to the table to Ed and Chris, and we talked about it, and it met a lot of criteria that we were looking for. So, jumped in, pulled the trigger on it, made an offer, started working with a broker, got it under contract. It was a deal that was about $1 million in size. And I want to say that it had about 17,000 square feet of rentable storage on it when we bought it. The thing that interested me about the property was that expansion capability on some additional land. And so what we did was, put a plan into place and what that would look like if we expanded it. And there was, a lot of very attractive numbers there when we did that. But we are in the process right now of expanding that facility, Mark. And when we get done, we're probably about two-thirds of the way done. We're on phase two of our expansion right now. But when we get done, that property will have about 42,000 rentable square feet. So we took from 17,000 to 42,000, and we're in the process of doing that now. It's been a great property. So that was the first one that we did, and it worked out really well. Since then, we went on to buy 9 additional properties. So we bought 10 total. We have sold one. We sold one several months back. So we have 9 that we own and operate today. And we have 4 additional properties under contract, with a couple of them about ready to close very soon.
So you bought your first one in March of 2021, and this is being recorded in early October 2022. So in a year and 6 months, you've done 10 deals?
Yeah, we did. We have 10 that we've completed the transaction on. We've got 4 under contract right now that are very close to closing. So, yeah.
That's pretty incredible. That's a good track record. On this first deal you bought, you don't have to give the exact numbers, but you bought 17,000 square feet. You said it was in the $1 million range. Is that?
Yeah, that initial purchase is about $1 million, yeah.
And then what did you put in it to bring it to 40-something thousands? What do you have, about 2.5 in it, 2.2 in it?
Yeah, I want to say, about $1.3 million, $1.4 million on our expansion.
Okay, fund. So yeah. Let's say you're at 2.4. And so the other deals that you've gotten involved in, are they – somewhat similar to the first one you did, like expansions and have you done conversions?
Yeah, we have actually. The strategy that we kind of settled on, and this is what I say to people out there that are looking to get in the space. When you're out there looking for properties, trying to figure out what to do, what I found, is that you have to know what you want, what you're looking for, what you're not looking for, and you kind of you refine that process as you look at deals, as you talk to brokers, and you kind of go through the iterations and maturation in that way. So we settled on the strategy. We were looking for expansions and conversions. Initially, we were a little bit more heavily focused on the expansion, having additional land that we could build more storage on. We've since also done some conversions as well. So that's kind of how we went about it. And those additional 9 that we bought, Mark, every single one of them, without exception, is an expansion or conversion opportunity. We really haven't purchased any that don't fit that criteria.
Okay. And you all use third-party management, correct, on your storage projects?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and that kind of gets back to the scale factor, too. You know, it's if you're going to own and operate and run these facilities, it takes a lot of work. It's not 100% passive by any stretch. And so, as you well know, and we just didn't feel that was our wheelhouse and our area of expertise. We felt we'd be much better served if we did have a professional property manager to run that part of the operation for us. So we partnered up with a company called Copper Storage Management. They do all of that work for us. They do a fantastic job. We couldn't be happier with them. And we talk to them on a weekly basis, and they run all that for us, right? So it's great.
And that includes the online marketing piece of getting your customers, so they handle that for you?
Yeah, the way it works, Mark, we take over a property. Let's say at closing day, we take over a property. Copper shows up on site. They fly one or two people into the location, right? And they go to the site. They meet with the sellers, and you know they have the transition of data, the key handover, so to speak, and kind of take over the property. And so at that point, they start operating and managing the property on our behalf. They get all the data into the computer system. We run a property management software called StoreEdge, and we use Go Local for our online marketing and our website platform, you know, through Copper. And so they get all that up and running and set up and start marketing and running the website and managing the facility, the gate codes and the units and, you know, they're off and running, and they run our promotions for us and just handle that entire property management piece.
Good. So how you've grown, it sounds like you guys are syndicating using investor money as well as your own in these deals. Can you say a little bit about that? I get a lot of questions on, well, what do you offer investors? Without getting too much in the weeds, can you tell us a little bit about how you syndicate your deals and what's involved there and who kind of manages it?
Yeah, you know, and you're absolutely right. Again, it's back to that scale factor and kind of how do we grow and do all that. And if you're trying to do everything yourself, you know, sometimes you're going to be limited in funds, and that's where the investors come in. They help us scale that. So, yes, we do syndications. Our syndications are, you know, fully, they're SEC, Reg D compliant. We use syndication attorneys to help us with all that part of it, and we do raise funds. You know, typically our structure is, we have a 50-50 equity split with our investors, and we pay them a preferred return on that investment. We typically, you know, shoot for a certain investor return that we, you know, tell them we'll do. And, you know, our goal is to try to exceed that if we can, but, you know, we try to hit some minimums with them. But, you know, that's how we went about structuring our deals internally. You know, we all pitch in where we can. We, on our team, we all try to kind of specialize in areas that we, you know, are good at. We have one guy on our team that kind of handles a lot of that syndication work. That's Ed. And then, you know, Ed and Chris spend a lot of time on fundraising. I do a little bit of that. That's not as much in my wheelhouse as it is in theirs. So we kind of split up the duties and go about it that way. And then, you know, an investment deck out to our investors for review, and we're off and running.
So what is your primary, if you had, and I know you probably do everything all the way down to janitorial work at times, but if you had to put like what your accountability is in the partnership, how would you define it?
Yeah, you know, kind of the lane that I try to stay in, you know, the old stay in your lane slogan, the lane that I try to stay in, Mark, is, And I think the value that I brought to the partnership when I started working with Ed and Chris is, you know, I work on kind of the acquisition, finding deals, working with brokers, you know, kind of grinding through, you know, as you know, to take one deal down, you have to look at a lot of them, right? And so I kind of go through that process, kind of weed it down. Then when I get it down to a short list, you know, I talk to Ed and Chris more about it, say, hey guys, what do you think about this? So I'm more on the acquisition side, brokers. You know, I work with the attorneys to get the contracts in place and try to get the deal across the finish line. And then a little bit on the banking and loan side as well as the investor side. So then that kind of bleeds over into my other partners. And then we all kind of come together once we got a deal on the table, and it's a joint decision amongst all of us. I don't you know, do all that on my own, but I do a lot of that front end work and then work with Ed and Chris to finalize the deal.
That's awesome. Where do you see you or your team in, let's say, the next 3 years? I know that's kind of hard to say, but what's your goal? Where are you all going for?
Well, you know, we're still in a, you know, a lot of people, you know, it depends on, I guess, you know, how much news you're watching and how negative you want to be about it. But we like this asset class, and historically this asset class has done, as you know very well, has done fantastic in up markets, down markets. So we're continuing to look for deals and expand our portfolio if we find deals that fit our criteria, if they're good. Now, you know, we do look at a lot of deals, and there's a lot of deals out there that we run from. It's like, no way, I am not touching that deal. But, you know, if you look long enough and hard enough and you are working with the right people and you have good relationships out there, you know, deals that come across your desk that are very attractive that you'll pursue. And that's kind of the approach we've taken. So we've gotten to the point in our portfolio where we can be a little bit picky. We don't have to take every deal that comes across our desk. And we are still expanding and looking for opportunity, even in the market of rising interest rates and so forth. So, you know, as Chris likes to say, my partner, you know, we are buyers and sellers in this market. So, you know, we have a couple of properties in our portfolio that we will consider selling. So we're acquiring and buying, and we're going to continue to do that, Mark. So I'd say over the next 2 to 3 years, I don't have an exact number, but I would not be surprised if we didn't acquire another 5 to 10 plus properties over the next 3 years.
So if somebody is just getting going or thinking about getting in the storage business or thinking about doing a boot camp or whatever, what would be your advice to someone who was where you were, let's say, at the end of 2020?
Yeah. You know, kind of just speaking from personal experience in my path, you know, I kind of touched on this before, but I would advise people that you don't have to go it alone. I think that's a more difficult route. It doesn't mean you can't, right? You might want to go out and buy a self-storage property, own it and operate it yourself, and that would be fine, right? I mean, there's nothing wrong with that model. But, you know, if you want to go beyond that, you want to scale, it's harder to do that on your own. So the first thing I would say is consider, you know, what you want to do, kind of what your criteria, what your goals are, and if that is the way you want to do it. The second thing I would do is, you know, there's a lot to know in this business, even though, you know, Chris and Ed and I had been in the real estate market for a while, there's still a lot to be learned. And so my advice would be try to learn as much as you can, educate yourself. And Mark, that's where you came in with the education that you provide people in the space is just awesome. And, you know, thank you for doing that, because, you know, not everybody out there is as willing to share their knowledge and be as charitable as you are. So hats off to you for doing that. But I would, you know, engage with that kind of level of detail with courses like you offer to educate yourself. So that would be another thing that I would do. I think you have to build relationships with not only investors, but you have to build a team, right? You have to have lawyers that you work with, and investors, and bankers, and real estate brokers, right? So you've got to do that, and that takes time. And I think, you know, when you say to yourself, okay, I want to jump into the self-storage business, and I want to go start doing this, it may not happen in the first 2 or 3 months. I mean, you may have to be on the phone talking to people, doing your emails, doing whatever you do, interacting and having that collaboration with people for 3, 4, 5 months before things really start to fall out the other end. So I would say be patient and be willing to do that. It you know, it doesn't just, you know, happen organically. You have to, you know, you have to be aggressive and go out there and kind of push that and make sure that you are advancing, you know, that kind of discussion with people. So I think that's another thing. And then, you know, I think you have to decide on the criteria that you are looking for in your investment. What is that going to be? You know, the size of the asset, the type of storage, the location, the age, expansion, conversion. You know what you're looking for, know what you're not looking for. so that then when you find it, you can act on it. And you have to be diligent. You know, you have to be doing this, looking at deals on a daily basis. I mean, I have a bunch of alerts on Crexie, right? Service out there. And I'm looking at those every day in my email, literally every single day. I look at those. Some days more than others, but you know, that's how you find things that are attractive to you. Talking to brokers, they bring you deals. So there's a multiple, there are multiple ways of getting those deal flows to come to your desk. And you just have to do that. You can't like, oh, I'm going to work on this over the weekend and then, you know, put it on the table for a month. Okay. I'm not busy this weekend. I'll look at storage again. It's a little bit more work than that. So I would advise people that you have to pay attention and be a little bit more focused. It's not super passive if you really want to get into it. The other thing I would say, Mark, is, you know, you have to take action when you find it, right? If you do find something, you cannot be afraid to act. You have to do something. You can't just be in a, you know, theoretical academic world. You have to then take action and start, you know, executing on the things that you know and the things you've learned. And one of the big things that I think made us successful, honestly, is that I call it the analysis paralysis situation. You know, you're looking at, you got all your check boxes and your spreadsheets and your numbers. And, you know, you can't check 20 out of 20 boxes on every deal. And some people think, oh, if I can't get a great deal, if I can't check every one of these boxes and just everything is in my favor, then I'm not going to do it, right? If you have that mentality, you will probably never do a deal. And so my advice would be diligent, you know, be smart, but don't be in a position where you have to check every single box to make a deal happen, because that probably won't happen. So that was, I don't know, sorry for rambling a little bit long there, but in a nutshell, those are some of the things that I would advise people on if they were looking to jump into this space.
So that is really good advice. There is no perfect deal out there. There really isn't.
Well, you know what, Mark? I got to tell you this. The deals we look at, I mean, the old adage or phrase, you know, it's got to have a little hair, it's got to be a little ugly. I mean, that's really what we look for. I mean, when we look for deals, we look for deals that have value add. We're not necessarily looking to buy 100% occupied storage facility and just buy the cash flow, right? That's not what we're looking for. We're looking for deals that are beat up, that have upside potential, value add opportunity, and those are the ones we go after. And you know, sometimes those boxes don't get checked very well at all, because there's a lot of ugliness sometimes around deals when they're in that category.
Yeah, I was working with a guy at one time in my career, and he just said, "I love ugly." So, well, you've been real generous with your time, Terry. I appreciate your willingness to help, to share your experience and help other people who are kind of coming behind you, because it really is a good asset class. I think, you know, and I could be wrong, but I think the next 10 years are a real opportunity for us, because there really is a lot of consolidation going on in this industry, and it's not in its infancy, but it's not a very mature industry at this point. And the consolidation is the fact that so many of these mom and pops out there, and it sounds like that's what you guys deal with for the most part, or, you know, people who own one or two facilities and that's it. So the majority of storage out there in the U.S. today is still that brand of storage. And where guys like us can come in and get these things and turn them around and then have an asset that somebody who's willing to pay top dollar and just buy the cash flow will look at. For me, that's where I see the opportunity in the next decade. Yeah. Would you agree, or do you have a different model on it?
No, not at all. I mean, I can't remember the stat, but it's like 33-66, like a two-thirds, one-third in terms of the, you know, the big investors versus mom and pop. So it's a very fractured market, right? The majority of the self-storage market is still owned by very small operators out there. So, you know, there is a lot of opportunity. There's no question. No, I don't see it different at all. I mean, as a matter of fact, you know, when you look at the storage market, I think you mentioned this to me a while ago, where we used to rely on certain statistics of, the saturation of the number of storage units in a given population, right? And that has possibly changed a little bit because there's more demand for storage, I think, today and going into the future than there used to be. There's a lot of renters out there. People are cramped in their spaces. A lot of this COVID work from home mentality created people working out of their offices and not having enough space in their house. And whenever you have space issues, you have to have a place to put things. And that's where the storage, you know, facilities come into play. I always kind of look at like people and things in motion is another kind of thing that I look at. And whenever you have it, whether you're in an upmarket or downmarket, people are moving out of houses. They're moving from one state to the next. They're moving their job. You know, whatever those reasons are, that creates the opportunity for and the need for storage. And so, you know, we have a lot of growth and a great economy in this country. And so as that continues to work, I think the need for storage goes up. So I see it as a great market. And also, you know, it's kind of like your bigger markets are denser with storage. And, you know, we're nibbling around out here on the edges of the markets, kind of like the Walmart strategy, right? We're coming in from the outside in. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity in the smaller markets. You know, you don't necessarily have to go into a big metro area like Atlanta or Dallas, you know, to play in the storage space. You can be in a smaller market. People in those markets need storage as well. So, and then there are different types of storage, right? There's climate, non-climate. Non-climate's a lot of times underserved, so that's an issue can feed. I think there's a demand in the RV and parking space today that maybe isn't as fulfilled as it could be. So, yeah, I see the industry continuing to grow from my perspective. The one other thing I'll say too is that, you know, when you look at what we did as our team, I mean, again, we kind of talked to some high level numbers, but you know, we purchased these 10 properties, and I think our total asset value on those is around $27 million, somewhere in that range. We have 6 in Georgia, 1 in Arkansas, 1 in South Carolina, 1 in North Carolina. So we're kind of spread out in that eastern, southeastern region there. I think we have roughly about 287,000 square feet of storage space, you know, in our asset base. And then I think that equates to about 2,300 or 2,400 storage units. So, you know, that's kind of what we've been able to do in that space, doing it the way I described. Now, we've been in that $1 to $4 million asset value range in our purchasing of assets. And typically what we're seeing when we come and we buy a property, let's say we buy one for $2 million. We typically put about 75%, maybe a little bit more, into the expansion. So if we buy one for $2 million, we're putting $1.7 million into that thing, $1.5 million into that thing to expand it. So just through that, we've created a bigger asset right out of the gate. What we're looking to do, Mark, is kind of move up that chain a little bit. And again, we're not necessarily wed just to a size. I mean, we look for a good deal, right? So if the numbers work for our investors, that's really what we're interested in. But we are looking to move up the size scale a little bit. So instead of buying $1 to $2 to $3 million properties, you know, we might jump up to that $4, $5, $6 million property range. So that's the strategy that we have. So again, we're bullish about the storage market going forward in the future, and we're going to continue to buy deals if they're good deals. If somebody comes to us with a 3 cap in a, you know, tier 4 market, we're probably going to pass on that.
Well, I'd like to acknowledge you because to do 10 deals in a year and a half is an accomplishment, you know, getting going in this business and then organizing yourself in such a way that you can do that many deals that quickly and be on top of them, which is what I'm hearing in this interview. I just really acknowledge you guys for that. And I acknowledge you for being able to figure out where your niche is in this industry, putting your team together, the people to support you that you needed to do, and then going out and doing it. There's a lot of people that I've met that it's almost like, you know, you buy the membership to the gym and like that's the action step they take. But no, you actually went to the gym and did the work. So I acknowledge you for that.
Well, Mark, and thank you for that. But again, I want to give credit to you for the education you provide in this industry, because I am 100% positive if it hadn't been for the material and the coaching and mentorship that you provided, I probably wouldn't have done this. I mean, I can absolutely say that. I think the other thing is, you know, my partners, you know, Chris and Ann, I've talked about them a couple times on the call. You have to partner with people that you enjoy working with that can also supplement and complement your strengths and weaknesses. And we have a great team, and Chris has done a great job of building a team. And then it's beyond us, right? It's building a team of vendors and people that you work with, right? So you can't do it all on your own. You have to be willing to quarterback that to do that. And I think our team has done a really good job at fostering those relationships and building those relationships. So that's why we were successful. It's not just us, but it's our investors and all the people that we work with all rolled together. That's really what made it work.
Well, somebody has to have the vision, and you all did that. Well, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate your willingness to share with other people. So,
Thank you.
That was interesting, wasn't it? One of the things that really separates Terry, here's the thing. Terry doesn't know any more than many people about self-storage. One of the things that really separates Terry and has him achieve the success that they've experienced is his willingness to just take action. Much like you saw with the interview with Chris Cashman last week, one of the skill sets these people have, and I think one of the things that really separates them from people who know a lot, learn a lot, but never get in the business, is the fact that they're just willing to take the action, even though, as Terry called it, all the boxes aren't checked. Did he occur like somebody who was irresponsible or just willing to buy anything? Absolutely not. But their willingness to move forward, even when they don't know necessarily how it's going to turn out, or even when they don't know all the answers, that's one of the key distinctions, I think, that separates the successful from the unsuccessful. Anyway, that's a trend I saw in these two interviews, and I hope you learned a lot. My goal here is not to say that you can do this. My goal here is to inspire you, to show you people who are much like ourselves, small investors trying to figure out how to get in and where our place is in this world of self-storage. And these are some people who have actually figured it out. My intention here was to inspire you, to let you know that it's possible for you too. If Terry can do it, or I can do it, or the other people I work with can do it, you can too. There's nothing special about us. So I hope that's helped you. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. And if you're interested in finding out more about the boot camp, to see if that could be something that could support you, it's not for everybody, but it could support you and where you're at in your growth and development, feel free to click the link below and find out more about it. Thanks a lot, and I'll see you next week.